We've come to that point in our service now where we will turn again to the Bible, the passage that was read to us from Acts chapter 16. If you want to follow the points that I'm making this evening, it's in Acts chapter 16 and it's on page 1114 of the church Bibles in front of you. As a church, we have been working our way through this book, seeking to know what God wants us to learn and to understand at this time. But I'm conscious of the fact that this is not just an ordinary service this evening, and we are not just at an ordinary time in the work of our church. We have got, as I said, this series that we're looking at, and I've been seeking to teach the church systematically, because as a church, we are a biblical community. We're a community that is focused on the teaching of the Bible and the God of the Bible. But we've had a service of thanksgiving and dedication this evening because we are a growing community. It thrills me tonight to be here and to see so many of our young families out and to see visitors with us, because the church is not just a set group of people. God is continually adding to the church and adding to our families. So we're a growing community. As was announced on Wednesday, we will have our annual general meeting because, believe it or not, we're an organized community, or we try to be. We try to do things decently and in order. And the fact that we have got our friends with us tonight from Nodva means that we are an advancing community. We are seeking to walk with God. God has called us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that is what we will do in a few weeks' time when John is set aside to pastoral work in Abyssochen, and the family go there to live as witnesses before the people. So it's an encouraging time in the history of our church, but it's a challenging time. Whenever there is change, it's not always easy to cope with. And when change happens, it's easy to focus on the change and to think, oh, I don't like this, and to lose sight of the perspectives. And tonight, I believe that our Bible reading is able to help us, because it shows us a situation where God is at work, where people are being changed. I want to give you a verse tonight, which isn't part of our reading. It's something that the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 16. There's no need to look at that, because the point that I want to make is very simple. I will build my church. I will build my church. Church today, Christianity, is unpopular. People think that it's past its sell-by date. People say we are a post-Christian country. And I certainly believe that we are a post-Christian country. But that doesn't mean to say that Christianity is out of date. Quite the contrary. Christianity is as relevant today as it was in the first century AD when this story was written. Those of you who were here this morning will remember that we listened to the story of a successful businessman who had no time for God. And sadly, when he got to the end of his life, when he was prosperous and he had everything going for him, he died without God and without hope. And yet tonight, in our reading, I want us to look at a successful businesswoman. Who says the Bible's out of date? A businesswoman, a leader in her industry. Verse 14 describes Lydia for us. one who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods. So there she is. She is accomplished in business, but it then goes on and says she was a worshipper of God. So you've got this successful businesswoman who is in tune with God. But we've also got a preacher or a prophet who is in step with God. And that preacher is the Apostle Paul. He realizes that he has got a relationship with God. God is not dead. God is not out of the picture. Here in this story, God is dealing with people. And he deals with people tonight. He is dealing with us. And I want us to see these two people and to see how God uses them. Now, the prophet, the preacher that I've talked about, I've described him as an obedient Jonah. Even if you don't know the Bible very well, most of you will have heard of the prophet Jonah in the Old Testament. He was a man that God called. God said to him, I want you to go to the city of Nineveh. I want you to preach to them. I want you to call them to repentance, and that I might be merciful to them. Jonah said, no, Lord, I'm not doing that. He got into a ship going the opposite direction, and he sadly suffered the judgment of God. There was a huge storm. God prepared a large fish. The sailors, at Jonah's own request, threw him overboard, and he was swallowed by a fish, which was in fact for him a lifeboat. God then dealt with him. And I've described Paul as an obedient Jonah, because unlike Jonah, he was prepared to obey God. You say to me, well, how can you obey God? Well, let me show you in verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. God spoke to this man through a dream. God speaks to us through the Bible. God speaks to us through our conscience. And I'm still prepared to believe that God speaks to people in dreams as he enters into our spirits and directs our thoughts. So Paul has this dream, a man saying, come over and help us. Now, what does Paul do? Does he follow the example of Jonah, the Old Testament prophet, and go off in the opposite direction? No, quite the contrary. We read in the next verse, and when Paul had seen this vision, this is verse 10, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So Paul says, God has called, I am prepared to obey. God still does that today. I remember a few years ago speaking to John at the Aberystwyth conference and saying to him, John, what is going to happen with this study that you were doing? Is it leading anywhere? And we agreed that the following week, once we got back from the conference, we would meet to discuss the matter. Well, God was already at work. And that morning, that was on the Thursday evening. On the Friday morning, God spoke to John through the preacher and said that he was to be a preacher. And he was to have a responsibility for the valleys of South Wales. What is happening here in the New Testament is happening today. God is calling men. God is calling women in order to serve him in the places that he wants them to be. Jonah disobeyed God. Paul obeyed God. And we, if we are wise, will obey God. So Paul gets into the ship, they set off, and they go across the strait, and they go into the area that is described as Macedonia. And we're told a few cities that they went through, verse 11, Troas, to Samothrace, and to Neapolis. And then they came to Philippi. Now, notice how Philippi is described. A leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. Why does God tell us that it was a Roman colony? Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, he came to the Jews. He came to his own, and his own received him not. He came into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And when God sent his Son into the world, he came with this message that he had come to save. And he did that by dying on the cross. We are told in Matthew's Gospel that his name was called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. And the message of the Gospel first went to the Jews because they were the people that God had spoken to in the Old Testament. And then in Acts chapter 10, Peter, who was one of the first apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, was sent to the Greeks, Gentiles, non-Jews, and the same message was preached there. Jesus came into the world to save you as Greeks. Oh, but we're not Jews. Surely our religion is different. And therefore, we don't need the God of the Jews. Friends, nobody needs the God of the Jews. But everyone needs the God who came into the world to save sinners, Jews, Greeks, and then here in verse 12, a Roman colony, another nation, another group of people. And what is God saying? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he went back to heaven, told his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. And here we have got another step. But friends, who are these Romans? Well, they're the occupying force. The people who had gone into Israel, had conquered them, had crushed them as a nation. But God says, I want you to go to them. Who are they? They are the people who nailed the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross. And God says, I want you to go to them. I want you to teach these people that they can be saved. And God still says that. Let me ask you, friends, have you lived without God all your life? Have you turned your back on so-called religion? Well, God sends his message tonight. And he says that whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So the first person that I want you to see in this story is an obedient Jonah, a man who was willing to go with the message to people who perhaps had never heard it. But as we go on, I want to give you another picture from the Old Testament. Many of us, when we grew up, even if we didn't go to church schools, we were taught Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. And I want to use this picture of a sheep beside still waters. Because when we go down into verse 13, Paul has sat around for a few days looking at this city. And then in verse 13, we read, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. And I want to use this picture of the riverside as an example built on Psalm 23, being led beside still waters. The Sabbath day, a day set aside for God. Sadly, today, we live in a world that's described, isn't it, so often as 24/7. It's on the go all the time, day in, day out, day in, day out. God didn't design us like that. He designed us that we might work for 6 days, that we might rest on the seventh day. And when Paul went to this city, he went to the riverside to find people who were resting. Now, I've used the term sheep because it fits in with the Old Testament picture. But again, in the New Testament, the Lord talks about people who have lived without God as those who are sheep who have gone astray. And here we've got people who, all of us have gone astray, but these people are trying to come back. They are trying to give God the rightful place in their lives. They're saying, yes, Lord, we will build up our successful businesses, but on the Sabbath day, we are going to think about you. Paul goes down to the riverside, and there is there this allusion to Psalm 23. He leads me beside still waters. Why did he go to the riverside? Well, he'd looked around the city. As we'd said in verse 12, he was in the city for some days. He'd looked round and he had tried to find a place where the Jews were gathering in the synagogue. But there wasn't one because there weren't enough men. And in fact, this story here tells us that when he went down to the riverside, there was a group of women. And they were meeting for prayer. How we need to thank God for the prayers, the women who pray. But I want to show you something in this verse. It was Matthew Henry who said that when God is ready to bless his people, he sets them praying. And you can go through the book of Acts and you can see that unconverted people were seeking God. In Acts chapter 1, it's probably converted people because they'd been with Jesus. But after Jesus went back to heaven, we're told that they devoted themselves to prayer. They tried to seek God. When the church had been established, the early apostles continued to go up to the temple to pray. And when you come to chapter 10, to that passage that I was telling you about where God sent Peter to the Greeks, we are told this: Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Who's Cornelius? He's an unconverted man. And maybe you're here tonight and you wouldn't want people to know. You've never been converted. But in actual fact, you do say your prayers. Maybe each night quietly before you go to bed, you think, well, if there is a God there, maybe he will hear me. That's what's going on beside the still waters here. That's what's going on beside this river. And the Lord Jesus Christ has given us a number of promises. All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Are you in a situation where you think, well, if there is a God, I want him to help me. But would he help me because I've lived without him for so long? Well, the promise is here, that whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. I will never turn aside from them. I will never say to them, but you've lived without me. I've got no time for you. Now the Lord says that he will receive us. In fact, that same chapter that I've already quoted in John 6, Jesus says, no one can come to me and or come to the Father unless, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Is God drawing you? Is your conscience being stirred? Are you understanding that you have got a need in your life? That was happening here beside the river in Philippi. People understood that they needed God, and they were praying. And prayer is a vital part of our relationship with God. So we've seen an obedient Jonah, Paul, who was ready to go. We have seen a sheep beside still waters with Lydia and these people who were preparing to hear God and were seeking God in prayer. But the last picture that I want to give you from this story is again a picture from the Old Testament. It still refers to Lydia, but I've described her here not as a sheep beside still waters, but as a person with a new heart. Now, why do I use that picture? Well, because in Ezekiel 36 in the Old Testament, it says this, I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. This happened to Lydia. She was religious. She was successful. But she was not a Christian. She had not been converted until this point. Look at verse 14 if you're following. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshipper of God. Then this last statement of the verse, the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. Now, we are not told what Paul preached on this occasion, but we are told what Paul preached in different situations. And there's a verse in Paul's letter to the Romans which explains what he believed. He said, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord, then we will be saved. And Paul would have preached along those lines. And Lydia heard him. She didn't simply hear the words, in through one ear and out of the other. She retained the words, and she concentrated on them. And she'd already shown that she was a worshipper of God. But we are told here the Lord opened her heart to pay attention. Now, don't think of Christian Barnard, an open heart surgeon. We're talking about a spiritual experience, a heart that has been hard towards God. The Lord comes and he opens it. And her whole way of thinking is changed. She pays attention. She doesn't get distracted by other things. And she hears that if she believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, she, with all her self-confidence, can be saved. If she believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, even though she is a Roman citizen, she can be saved. And as Paul went through different churches, he told people who had not only lived without God, but who had lived in opposition to God, that if they confessed their sins, then God was willing to forgive their sins. This woman heard. The Lord opened her heart. He changed her from the inside. And how do we know that this happened? Because she obeyed God. We go on in verse 15. After she was baptized and her whole household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay with me." And she prevailed upon us. After she was baptized. Why was she baptized? Because because the Bible tells us that we are to repent and be baptized. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. When Paul went to the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, that Greek man, he commanded everybody to be baptized. And that is what we see happening here. Lydia has believed, and she is baptized. And we're told, and her household as well. Now, we're not told whether Lydia was married, because this word doesn't necessarily refer to children. It is more likely that it refers to her household servants, other people who made up her household. But not only was Lydia converted that night, but other members of her household, and they too were baptized. The same thing happened when a prison guard was converted at the later part of this chapter. His servants or his household were baptized. And a second evidence that this woman was baptized was that she wanted to serve God. Notice how she speaks in verse 15. She urged us, urgent, strong. She urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." What's she saying? She said, "God's opened my heart. He's changed me from the inside. I've been praying that God would change me. I've been changed. I trust Jesus as my Savior. But now I want to serve him." She doesn't serve him as a preacher. She doesn't serve him as a missionary. She serves him simply by providing board and lodge for God's servants. An evidence of a changed heart. John and Harriet have come tonight to give thanks for Lydia, because of a change that took place in their hearts 4 or 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago maybe. And as a result, they are now willing to say, "Yes, we will serve God." I want to ask you tonight, where do you stand before God? Are you an obedient Jonah, willing to serve him like Paul? Or are you a disobedient Jonah? And that refers to the people of God. It doesn't refer to people of the world. Are you a sheep tonight, beside still waters, wanting to meet with God? Or are you a sheep tonight who is still wandering off far away from God? Friday afternoon, I was with my sister, whose husband is a sheep farmer in Mid Wales. And there we were out enjoying the new lambs. And suddenly I became aware that one mother, was rather noisy. And I paid attention to her. Then I realized that her lamb was lying still on the ground beside her. I went over. The lamb was still breathing. I said to my sister, "What should I do?" "Oh, my husband probably knows about it," she said. "Just leave it there." Her husband came. He was over the fence. He was down the field. He said, oh, I'll have to get some antibiotics for it. And then he went to see the sheep and see the lamb. And he realized, no, it's too late. You might be a sheep. You might be like that lamb. If my brother-in-law had got to that lamb earlier in the day, he might have saved it. You might be wandering far from God. You can be saved tonight. You can turn to God. But if you keep wandering, then there will be no hope. And are you, like Lydia, willing to be saved from the inside, changed from the inside? Because God is able to remove the hardness of our hearts and to give us new life in order that we might stand before God. May God help each one of us to serve him in our day and generation and to trust him. Let's sing our final hymn then, the hymn 757. 757, which takes up the theme of that message. Paul had promised to follow the Lord Jesus, and John and Harriet tonight have promised, we as a church have promised to serve him. O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. 757.